Welcome to Medical Confessions,
your remedy for serious medicine. I'm Jen.
I'm April.
And I'm Scott. Today we're going to be talking about sunscreen, what the deal is with the recent news article saying that potentially sunscreen can cause cancer.
I liked how you just said potentially.
Yes, potentially. And we're retouching on this topic. You'll notice on our YouTube channel, we did this topic a while ago, and someone called Jen a misled liberal.
Misled liberal. Worst cut down of my life.
Because basically they felt like sunscreen caused the cancer, not the sun itself. So we're going to talk about all things sunscreen related today.
Sunscreen related, yeah. And this has been a big thing with me. And I got a really good dermatologist that was kind enough to put on a UV light and tell me how horrible certain parts of my skin were, which is not a shock to me because I've never been good at using sunblock. And even through some of the readings that we did for this show, I read that it's the more fair-skinned people that have a lot of the precancerous conditions and that will end up with a lot of the sun damage. So I think I kind of just lived life as a Hispanic female thinking life was going to be easy and I don't burn easily. Little did I know at, 40 plus years old that this sun has wreaked havoc on my skin. I'm going to look like a dried out raisin by the time I'm 50. So I've been really interested in how to better protect my family and how to find that balance between, goopiness of sunblock, potentially the chemicals involved, but then also not looking like Magda from
Something About Mary.
Something About Mary.
The leather skin.
Have you done the face app where it shows you old?
Like, no.
Everybody's doing it right now.
Yeah, I haven't done it on me. I did it. One of our buddies sent it to us and it was eerie.
Yeah. I look downright hideous.
Yeah.
I'm like, God.
Yeah. You're not worried about the Russians knowing your facial recognition?
No, we saw that after we already used it. I'm like,
Who cares? I mean, our own government has that. We have passports, for God's sakes. I'm pretty sure our own government has our facial recognition. Who cares if Russia does?
I have such a boring life that I'm like, do it.
My skin's going to be so sun damaged, they're not going to recognize me anyway.
So, Scott, we've been through this before, but let's talk about sun damage and what the different UVA, UVB rays are.
What does that even mean?
Yeah, what does it mean? Why do we even need sunblock? Why can't we just love the sun as it is?
Here's the exciting thing about physics in that light is everything you can perceive. Everything in everything from x-rays, gamma rays, microwave, the light that you can see, all of it is electromagnetic radiation that we call light. Ultraviolet light is going to be, all light comes in waveform and it's defined by its wavelength. And visible light is somewhere around 380 to 720 nanometers in length. And that's the wavelengths that your eyes can see. Just on the a little more energetic side is ultraviolet light, and just on the less energetic side is going to be your infrared light. And so the UV light is what we're concerned about, because most anything super energetic gets filtered out by our atmosphere. It's going to interact with molecules and just not make it through. But UVA and UVB, so just a little bit more energetic than what your eyes can see, makes it through our atmosphere. About 95% of UVA light, which is going to be a little bit less energetic than UVB, will make it through. And because UVB is a little bit more energetic, only about 5% of it gets through. The more energetic something is, the less deep it will penetrate your skin. So UVB wavelengths are somewhere between 280 and 315 nanometers, so quite a bit more energetic. So it will actually react a little more with the molecules in your skin and won't penetrate very deeply. UVA is about 315 to 400 nanometers wide, so it will be a little less energetic, so it'll be able to go a little bit deeper into your skin. And everything in sunscreen is trying to either reflect that UV light or absorb it and dissipate it as heat.
Well, and just to go back so that the general audience understands, so basically the UVB is the stuff that actually burns your skin. So that's the, you get the sunburn, and then the UVA, and this is general statement, and then UVA is more of the long-term damage, like the aging effects. Would that be correct?
You can kind of say that both is going to do the same thing, because UVA is going to be able to penetrate deeper, and so it's got better chance of hitting your DNA versus the UVB. And so UVB is certainly going to, affect the outer layer of your skin more, because that's the only layer it can get to. Okay. So, but I do believe that you can probably get sunburn from both, because most tanning beds, I think, are mostly UVA light.
And
you can still get sunburns with that.
Oh, yeah.
But because of that, which is why tanning beds are so bad, like one exposure to a tanning bed when you're young increases your chance of skin cancer later in life by astronomical percentages.
Yeah,
so, I mean, that's
crazy.
Why so they're just not out there anymore. You're not, don't go in a tanning bed.
They're still out there, though. There's like two or three in every like mini mall that you pass. They are everywhere.
Which is crazy. I mean, even the FDA says if you're under 18, don't do that. You're not allowed to. A lot of states don't let you unless you're over 18 because you got to be able to accept the risk of this is probably going to give you cancer if you do it. So don't do that.
I did in high school before like proms and dances.
I think
and not
our
only
era
did I go,
did,
I got burnt also.
Right.
I only went one time when I was going to go to Mexico, so I thought I'd like pre-tan before I went down there, and all I proceeded to do was burn my butt.
Burn your butt.
Because the rest of me was kind of tan anyway, except my butt was all pale, and I get out, and like for the next 3 days, I couldn't sit down
because
my
feel?
Butt was burnt.
Itchy, and yeah.
It's terrible.
That is horrible.
Been there.
Well, and aside from the tanning beds, I've told you guys a story that I didn't get a lot of sun growing up because I was raised in a cold climate, but didn't burn easily. But I went to Hawaii with a couple of girlfriends like right after my senior year, and we went and spent like the whole day on the beach, and I burned horrible on across my forehead and my nose, like blistered, like peeling, like it was horrible. When the other gals that was with me, like her whole back and body was horrible. But this is where all of my damage is at, like my nose. And even still, like if I get sun, my nose gets like bright pink and red. Like that is definitely my damage area. And it's kind of sad because that is the only time I can ever remember actually getting like sunburned. And it was like 18 years old, ruined the rest of my life.
Yeah, I was good for burning like once in the beginning of summer, and then I was great for the rest of the summer because I tanned up and now I'm good.
Right.
So that was my MO. Just burn in the beginning and you're good.
And here's April and I like taking turmeric pills and drinking apple cider vinegar, but we just wreaked havoc on our skin as young people.
How are those essential oils working for the skin?
There's probably a mix for this. I'm going to find it. So the obvious fix or prevention for the UVA, UVB exposure would be to not be in it.
Yes.
There are health benefits, although you don't need a lot of it. So vitamin D, things like that we get from the sun.
It helps produce it, yes.
But the big one that we're kind of talking about today is sunscreen, because that's the one that is kind of, I don't want to say controversial, but there's a lot of schools of thought on what works and stuff. But April, you've got the history on sunscreen?
Yes, and it's extensive. It'll be about 5 minutes, so bear with me. Sunscreen didn't come about until about the 1900s. Before that, our ancestors relied on natural ingredients.
Like mud?
The ancient Greeks used olive oil. Ancient Egyptians used rice and jasmine extract.
Would olive oil just like potentiate?
Like, you're like baking yourself like in an oven.
Because I know people that used to tan with baby oil. Like I think my mom's era, like they would use baby oil to tan.
I read that a lot of sunscreens now also have coconut oil in them.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Probably made people taste great.
But weren't the Greeks like kind of like olive skinned anyway? Like weren't they kind of dark?
Yeah, I'm just passing along.
Okay, sorry.
Come on, April. What's the recipe? Scott olive oil and what for the skin?
Scott and I are like pitchforks.
Look it up.
Just olive oil? This is bogus.
And I just got back from vacation, but the people that I saw, they had this mud on their face.
Well, and it may not be exactly the same. I've been to Malaysia, and they were really huge about like not getting sun exposure.
Oh, yeah.
And so I just wonder if they don't use like a form of some of the products we have here that are like zinc, you know, like thick, you know, heavy muddish type of stuff. Maybe that's what they were using because they're like legit about blocking the sun.
Oh yeah. Yeah. If they weren't, if they didn't have an umbrella over them, they had that stuff all over their face, which it didn't look attractive. I'd settle for an umbrella, but.
settle for a little skin cancer from time to time.
But so here comes the numbers. In 1932, an Australian man named H.A. Milton Blake debuted his Hamilton sunscreen. And in 1936, a French chemist and L'Oreal founder, Eugene Schuller, develops a commercial sunscreen. In 1944, an airman and pharmacist named Benjamin Green developed a sunscreen specifically for members of the U.S. military. It was called Red Vet Pet. Red Vet Pet.
He's a rhymer.
Due to the inclusion of red veterinarian petroleum.
Oh, okay.
The formula had an unsightly red hue, was super sticky, and was also pretty limited in its effectiveness. After dealing with a nasty burn of his own in 1938, an Australian chemist named Franz Greeter set out to invent his own sunscreen in 1946. He launched a slightly more sophisticated formula that had an estimated SPF of 2 and called it Glacier Cream. In the 50s, the Red Vet Pet formulation from the 40s is handed off to a brand we call Coppertone, who adopts and eventually commercializes it in 1956. The improved formula, in addition to the famous Coppertone Girl marketing, helps the sunscreen become more mainstream. In 62, the SPF rating system is developed by Greeter. In 77, water-resistant sunscreen is invented. And in 78, the FDA gets involved with regulations adopting the SPF rating system and issues guidelines that more or less emphasizes how tanning is bad for you and how sunscreen is an absolute must. In 88, an ingredient called avobenzone is approved by the FDA, which protects against UVA rays. This followed the 1970 inventions of the broad spectrum sunscreen. In 1990 and early 2000s, broad spectrum sunscreen become incredibly more important after multiple studies indicate that people are still experiencing melanoma despite habitually wearing sunscreen. The studies point out that the UVA protection is vital to the prevention of skin cancer, but most sunscreen products only protect from the UVB rays. Today, the rate of melanoma diagnosis is still increasing. The census among scientists is that sunscreen alone cannot reverse this trend, yet good sunscreen can play a role in preventing sunburns, a major risk factor in melanoma, provided you use it correctly.
There's a lot there.
Yeah, and at one point you talked about, we all kind of giggled because Greeter, I think you said, created an SPF 2. Yeah. And we were like, ha-ha. You know, but the funny thing is that that was 2 times better than what the person would normally do because people don't understand what SPF is. And so when you have an SPF of 15, the person can remain in the sun 10 times longer, correct?
So it's so if you burn in 10 minutes, an SPF 15 will protect you for 150 minutes.
That's right.
SPF 30 will protect you for 300 minutes, so an SPF 2 will protect you for 20 minutes.
But an SPF of 15 will block out 93% of harmful rays.
Yes, it won't block out all
of them.
Rays.
But every time you go up, so if you go to a 30, it's only like 96%. And if you go up to, you know, an SPF of 50, it's like 98%. So it gets a little bit better, but even an SPF of 2 is better than them not having anything. So the time period, that was not a bad way for them to be going.
Nothing.
So, you know, hats off.
Yay, that's cool. Good for them.
That's cool. That's good. Well, so I guess the question for today was the benefits of sunscreen versus
the risks.
And the reason that I have so many products here and April contributed is because there's lots of options. It's not the 1950s. So we're not just taking like the old lifeguard like zinc, even though I do have a stick of that and it is really helpful if I'm just going to work out in the garden and I know I'm going to have like direct exposure. But there's a lot of options for people. You don't have to just stick with one thing. You can get broad spectrum, but you can have sunblocks and products that will help with whatever your daily activity is. So April and I were talking before this episode that most skincare products, makeups, things like that. I even put Mederma because of all of my lime juice burns. I put this stuff. I put that on all the time, and I didn't even realize that this version of Mederma even had SPF of 30 in it. So I think a lot of times if you just take the time to buy a product that has some in it for your face and maybe even your hands or whatever you're exposed to, you at least start with a little bit of protection. I know most suntan lotions wear off after 2 hours. So if you are actually going to be out in direct sun, you have to reapply every couple hours. But there's not really any excuse for people to not use it if you're going to have long exposures.
Yeah, I think the controversy started, and with this whole conversation of while we're doing this episode now, is because in May 6th of 2019 in the Journal of American Medical Association, there was a random clinical trial, and it was titled The Effect of Sunscreen Application Under Maximal Use Conditions and the Plasma Concentration of Sunscreen Active Ingredients. So basically, the FDA hasn't ever come out and said, okay, the ingredients in sunscreen that's helping reflect the UVA and, you know, dissipate the UVB into heat, that gets into your body, does that cause any health effects? Well, what the FDA says is that any chemical that gets into your body in a exceeds 0.5 nanograms per milliliter needs to be tested for its ability to cause cancer and developmental issues in reproduction. So is it going to hurt the babies, right? And the problem is we just haven't done any studies on them yet.
Right.
And what this clinical trial showed in May of this year is that there are four main ingredients in most all of sunscreens, and all of those ingredients exceed that 0.5 nanograms per milliliter within one day of you applying it to your skin, some of them within 2 hours. And the concentrations exceed that level for about 7 days. So once you put it on, we're going to exceed that level for 7 days. Are they going to cause any health effects? And so, you know, if you just say, okay, well, we've never tested it, it might cause cancer. Well, that's not what it's saying. What it's saying is we need to test it to see if it does.
So have they done the same test? Like if you drink Coke? Yeah. Like, I'm just thinking that there's so many other things that we probably have in our lives that are probably just as likely to leave chemicals in our bodies for however long.
Mm-hmm.
I would feel like, for me, the bigger risk would be like the aerosol version of the sunblocks. Like, if you're spraying your kids and you're breathing it in, to me, that seems like a bigger risk than...
Well, it's going to get in quicker, but either way, what's interesting about this is anyone over the age of 6 are testing positive for these chemicals already without using sunscreen, because they're in almost everything. They're in plastics and quite a few other things you're coming into contact with every day, makeups and all of the other
right.
stuff. So it's not just sunscreen that these things are in. They're in a lot of other things. And the right answer is we need to test it to find out.
Sure.
My personal feeling is that it's been in all of these products forever, and there's not this mass, increase in cancers and developmental disabilities, you know, unless you're an anti-vaxxer, maybe. Then you might think that. But either way, so we just need to test it, right? And figure that out.
Right.
Is it going to cause the health effects?
Well,
because
they
do get into your skin.
And there are safe chemicals that do not get absorbed, right? So the one that I got for my dermatologist, which was not cheap, and I actually read the proper application of sunblock is a shot glass size mm-hmm. per like application. So if you were out in the sun all day and you apply every 2 hours, that's a massive quantity. This bottle was like $50.
Sunscreen? Because I don't put that much on.
I'm assuming it's probably for like bikini bod, like your whole body needs to be, because if you are out mowing the lawn, arms, face, maybe legs. But the dermatologist that I see was like, this is a really good one. It's pure mineral. And the only active ingredient in this one is zinc oxide. And I mentioned this study to her and she said, yeah, she goes, if you're at all worried about chemicals, and she kind of did the whole, you know, moderation type of, you know, okay, sure, have melanoma, that's better. You know, like look up the Mohs procedure, then you'll be putting this stuff everywhere. But, she was saying that this does not get absorbed. And that's what I found to be true when I was doing my studies as well. Well, if we're not comfortable with the chemicals, then again, I'm touting this brand here. It's Isdin. The worst thing about this product here is the name, and I'm going to butcher it, but it's Erifotana Actinic Sunblock, and it's formulated with DNA repairosomes and vitamin E. It's 100% mineral-based sunscreen designed to have a lightweight consistency with broad-spectrum UVA, UVB protection that doesn't leave your skin greasy, and I will vouch on that behalf. I've tried several of them. This is one that I can put on the morning after I wash my face underneath makeup or whatever else I have on, and it goes on, absorbs really well, and it does a really good job of blocking, keeping me from getting sunburned or sun damage. It's SPF 50, and it helps protect against photo aging and addresses skin-induced skin damage. So it not only protects you from the sun, but it's supposed to help repair damage that you've already gotten. And again, my doc highly suggested I use this, and I think most people can probably even get it reimbursed from your FSA or your health insurance because of the qualities that it has. So it's supposed to be water resistant, and you just apply it 15 or 30 minutes before you actually need the sun protection. I will throw this up on our website. If people want a link, you can buy it right off of Amazon.
Buy it from our link because it helps support the show. We get 2% of the sale, so that's exciting.
Right.
There's usually 6 main ingredients. We're going to talk generalities, but understanding that the FDA has estimated there's about 12,000 different sunscreen products out there. They've only evaluated 1,200 of them. But we'll just talk in general. The 6 main ones. The two that don't get absorbed would be zinc and titanium oxide. Those are too heavy. They don't make it.
Yeah, and they're not fun. Like, they're goopy and thick. That's what I found. We're in Thailand or whatever and just, you know, mud faces. And I think that's why a lot of people don't like those ones, because they're not very convenient and they're not attractive.
Well, and so the 4 other ones are going to be the one you mentioned, the avobenzone. There's oxybenzone. There's octocrylene and acampsyl. And we can go through each one of those. those if you guys like and figure out what exactly that's doing for us.
He's like high school teacher. Like, let's, you know. Who wants to do math? Nobody.
Who wants to do long division?
Yes.
So, Scott, of those four ingredients, how many of these products does Jen have that include all of them?
Probably all of them, because the only one I see that she has is this the one you got from the dermatologist that's got zinc in it.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Everyone else has these four ingredients.
Coppertone has the four. This one, actually, the Kula, has only the three of the four ingredients.
Hawaiian Tropic Silk makes me laugh because you can't actually buy this in Hawaii because it's got the oxybenzone in it.
So we've determined that all of the general ones have horrible products in it.
Well, not horrible. They show up in your urine.
Okay. So these are the ones that would be the ones that are controversial right now.
They're the ones that this study said these things exceed that 5 nanograms per milliliter in your urine, which then the FDA says we need to look at it to see if it's going to do anything.
Yeah.
And some of these stay in your system for 7 days. So to just talk about them specifically, the avobenzone that April, you mentioned earlier, it was approved by the FDA in 1988. What it's doing for you, it absorbs a wide range of UV light. So it's kind of a broad spectrum, if you will. Its maximum absorption is about 357 nanometers, but you may have some health effects for it. The second one is going to be your oxybenzone. It absorbs UVB and UVA2 light, basically pretty much between 270 and 350 nanometers. This is the one that you can't have in Hawaii. It's the one that's going to get into your system the quickest and stay the longest. It has been shown to affect some hormone levels, specifically weak estrogens, and it has a potent anti-androgenic effect. So any androgen, this one has the most potential to be having health problems. However, it's in a ton of stuff. So if it was, for a long time. So right. If it was going to have these health problems, might have seen it already. The other one, octocrylene, that one absorbs UVB light and shortwave UVA, so between 280 and 300 nanometers. And then the Acampsyl filters out UVA light in that 290 to 400 nanometers range. But it doesn't actually filter out the entire spectrum. So if you're just using Acampsyl, you have to use something else to get the rest of the UV coverage. And again, this is just all these sunscreens are doing is either taking the UV light, absorbing it and dissipating it as heat, or it's reflecting it altogether. And only in these narrow nanometer ranges. Once you get into super energetic, you're in UVC light, which 100% of that gets filtered out by the sun. And that's super damaging to you. That's the UV light that we're using to kill all of the bacteria, is the UVC. It's also been in water treatment facilities since the 70s. It's what we use to clean stuff. Anyway, so that's what all of these are doing and how they work. And who knows if they cause health problems. We just know we can find it in your urine the second you put it on. Not the second, but within 24 hours.
That sounds serious.
Like, oh, it's like asparagus.
Exactly.
Yes. I don't think sunscreen is the long-term or the best way to prevent sun damage. Or, like, I think any amount of slathering this on all day long, like if you're a lifeguard, maybe there's that job hazard and you might have to. But in general, if people would use other methods to prevent sun exposure and damage, so wearing hats with brims, there's clothing that actually has, like, a rating for, blocking. Those would be better methods,
And then staying out of the sun in general.
Right.
Which isn't always practical. People have to be outdoors. But I think realizing kind of the myths and the pros and cons of it, I think people think, oh, it's cloudy, I don't need sunblock. But in reality...
Well, yeah, the right answer is avoid it the best you can. If you have to be out in the sun, put it on because you need to. And even after this study came out, the American Academy of Dermatology said, apply the sunscreen because the risk benefit is going to be way more harmful, the UV rays, than the potential of these chemicals in your body causing health problems.
Right.
Because, yes, we haven't tested it, but, the anecdotal evidence says maybe it's not that big of a deal.
Okay.
Over in Thailand and Japan, I was noticing all the protection precautions they were taking. And I realized that over there, lighter skin is
culturally
more beautiful.
Right,
that's
right.
What they're trying to achieve. But I was telling my husband, I was like, no wonder they look like they're 20 when they're 50. Like, they're literally, everybody has an umbrella.
Yeah.
They have long sleeves on. they have the mud stuff on their face. They go to the extreme. Even the scooter drivers, if they had a short sleeve shirt on, they had arm sleeves covering up their knuckles, like to their, just their hands, their fingers were exposed. Like,
right.
It was incredible how much precaution.
But it's so funny though, because our culture is so different here. And so we go to these extremes.
To get brown.
Yeah. Well, right. But also additionally, like all the different products people use to look better, and the, you know, like people will go over and beyond, like protein shakes and supplements and all these things to have a better looking body and stuff. But then some of the most obvious dangers, and again, in moderation, I think if you're going to go, you know, and spend a week on the beach, then absolutely, you know, find that happy balance. But I kind of like their methods. I don't think it would be comfortable for me. I'm a wimp when it comes to like heat. I don't think I could wear like big stuff. And, you know, I can do a hat, but I wouldn't be mowing the lawn in like full sleeves, gloves, all that kind of stuff.
No.
There's a level of laziness that I have to submit to.
Yeah.
I'm always lazy. I don't care. Burn me. You know?
The whole time I was over there, I'm like, I'm most likely going to get skin cancer. Because like you said about your nose, that's pretty much the only place I put sunscreen was
right.
on my nose and on my shoulders. And that's it.
Well, and again,
so
though.
Your nose is going to look 20 and your face is going to look 60.
I doubt it.
It's going to be awesome.
Well, and again, though, I always come back to the shirt. Same thing like when you're on vacation, you eat worse, you probably drink more, you know, like you allow yourself to step out of what, you know, but if you lived that way every day of your life, then it would probably be different.
Well, I think it's the vast majority of Super Centurions are from Asia. It's exciting. Fun fact.
Super Centurions?
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Super, so a Centurion, somebody over 100 years old?
Oh.
So somebody who's over like
okay. Yeah. April and I both tried to play off, like, I'm like,
cool.
That means we gave each other the look, like, I don't know what that, okay. Old people, got it.
Well, funny story, I was doing a college paper for someone once, and that was the college paper I had to do was
oh, really?
On, you know, what gets you to live past 100 or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So in summary, sunblock, not necessarily proven to cause cancer. Sure, it's got the chemicals.
The chemicals they're worried about are those four that can get absorbed into your body, the avobenzone, the oxybenzone. The oxybenzone is the one they're most concerned about because there was a study that came out quite a few years ago, I think it was about 10, 15 years ago, that said it was destroying the coral reefs. And so Hawaii actually bans sunscreens with oxybenzone in it. But since that time, it's kind of found out that maybe it's just global warming problems destroying the coral reefs, not that. So it's still, you can't have oxybenzone in your sunscreen in Hawaii because of it.
I would like you to talk more about that study if you know more, because it was a hot topic even over in Japan Thailand.
Well, the study that said that it was killing coral reefs, I only briefly skimmed because I was just more focusing on the chemicals, because we might talk about those. The second I kind of skimmed that, I came across four or five that were like, maybe that's not really the case. So I think there's just controversy out there. Is it actually harming the coral reefs? Who knows, right? Like we said, in a 2008 study found that 96.8% of people over the age of six had oxybenzone in their system. So because it's in so many products.
Sippy cups and pacifiers and
it's everywhere, right?
Maybe.
Right.
And it is the most lipophilic, so it chemical that's in those, basically meaning it can get absorbed by fat cells. But yeah, so I mean, do these four ingredients really cause problems? What we do know is that they're great for filtering out the UVA and UVB rays. Do they cause health problems? Who knows? No one's ever done a study on it yet.
But I would say that you get what you pay for with sunscreens, so pick one that works for your lifestyle, but also be aware that the dollar store not the best option as far as just ingredients and things like that, but use sunscreen when it applies. No pun intended. Use other methods.
At the end of the day, we know that UV damage is going to cause skin cancer, so let's try to prevent that, and then let's study these things that maybe might be harmful in the future.
Well, if you liked what you saw or heard today, check us out on YouTube or a podcast.
Or visit our website, medicalconfessions.com.